This is Jay Sekulow from Strasbourg, France. We're going to get an inside look at the situation of Christian persecution globally.
Live from Washington, D.C.
This is my right.
Jay Sekulow Live.
Right given by God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
To live a free life.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
To live in freedom.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Talking about.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I will fight for the right to live in freedom. Yeah.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're coming to you from the offices of the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France. This week on the broadcast, we've been looking at what I consider one of the most significant issues facing the church today, and that is a global persecution aimed at Christians, and it's global in scope. And we've been talking about, on the broadcast this week, the situation which has been extremely significant, and that, of course, is the situation that we're concerned about at the United Nations with this move for what they're calling the defamation of religion, which basically will turn the human rights laws upside down so that individuals that are designed to share the gospel in any country that signed on to UN treaties would be deemed to violate international criminal law. Of course, it's being promoted, as we've said on the broadcast, by the Organization of the Islamic Conference. We'll get more into that, and we've given you a lot of details about that. This is almost all of the Islamic countries in the Middle East, but this would not just affect the Middle East. This would impact worldwide because the UN application of this would be broad. By the way, we now know that the hearings on this is going to be, looks like, in September in Geneva, Switzerland. I've been meeting with our staff at the European Center for Law and Justice. We brought in some of our Washington, D.C. staff as well, especially those affiliated with our Government Affairs Office. We are going to put a full hearing together to try to beat this back at the United Nations because we think it's that serious of a threat. That'll be about 6 weeks before we go to the Supreme Court of the United States. So obviously a busy time. But I wanted to give you an inside look as to what's going on globally. And we're very fortunate. A few days ago at our offices here in Strasbourg, we had a presentation by Michael Wharton. And Michael is the director of Open Doors France. Now, a lot of you know Open Doors is, of course, an incredible ministry, one of the largest evangelical non-governmental organizations in the world, especially as it relates to the proclamation of the gospel. Michael's had tremendous amount of experience, responsible for coordinating a lot of humanitarian work to the persecuted church, traveled to 22 countries. His wife, by the way, works for us here at the European Center for Law and Justice, and we're thrilled that she's here. And because of that, we've gotten to know Michael over the years, which is also great. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Let's talk about, you laid this out for us very well at our offices when we had all of our staff in, the significance of the persecution aimed at Christians globally right now. And there are, of course, target countries. We'll get into that. But before we do that, how significant is this issue of Christian persecution? Because it's not in a lot of the media around the world.
It's a worldwide phenomenon. Today, we look at over 50 countries around the world where we consider that the church is denied freedom. Christians are denied freedom to live out their faith. This can be going from very fairly limited situation where they simply legal or authoritarian hindrances to practicing worship, right through to a persecution that's so severe that people are being put to death for their faith today.
We're going to get into some stories that are incredible because what we've been doing, folks, is laying the groundwork for you to understand the nature of the problem. But I wanted to put real incidents. And Michael, of course, is very familiar with his work with Open Doors. And by the way, if you want information about Open Doors, this is their U.S. website. It's opendoors.org. That's opendoors.org. And we'll make sure we have a link to that on our website at aclj.org so you can get information about their great ministry and encourage you to support it. They do a tremendous work right on the front lines of this. And, you know, we deal with the advocacy side of this. They're dealing on the front lines of this. They're both important, but what they're doing is really critically on the front lines here. We're going to get more with Michael when we come back from the break. We've got a lot of other issues to talk about. But what we want you to do right now, as we get ready to go to a break, you go to your phones. We need you to take a stand and take a stand aggressively. So I want to encourage you to go to your phones right now. We've heard from over 10,000 of you this week alone saying that you're not going to just tolerate Christian proclamation of the gospel being deemed an international crime, which is what the Islamic organizations, this is the Organization of the Islamic Conference, are trying to do at the United Nations. So here's what you do. You go to your phones right now. The phone number is 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 to take a stand for the proclamation of the gospel. Again, 1-877-989-2255. You can also get updated information or sign the petition online at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online at aclj.org.
It's the Logan Show!
Hi, this is Logan Seculo, host of the Logan Show.
Each week on the Logan Show, we bring you hilarious comedy.
Basically, I've invented extreme shuffleboard. It's a lot like normal shuffleboard, but here's the difference. Flaming discs.
Live performances and exclusive interviews with the biggest names in Christian music.
Tonight's special guest, Stellar Car. Sanctus Real. Toby Mac.
Cause we're booming out the stereo system. This goes out to anyone listening.
Find out more information on upcoming shows. Visit our website at loganshow.com. That's www.loganshow.com. The Logan Show is fun for the entire family and is on cable and satellite TV from coast to coast. In fact, we're on DirecTV every day on channel 378, the NRB Network. We're also available on Inspiration Network, iLife, FamilyNet, Daystar, GodTV, and many more. So check us out and see what you've been missing. That's The Logan Show at loganshow.com.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. We've been talking about the persecution of the church, and when you start seeing the evidence of this, I'm a lawyer, so I like dealing with evidence, you see the reality of what's going on in other portions of the world, and the attack on Christianity is significant. We've talked about the problem at the United Nations. That's one element of this, but there's direct people on the front lines fighting. One of those groups is Open Doors. They do a tremendous amount of work, in especially sharing the gospel. Michael, let's talk a little bit about Open Doors, because I've kind of jumped over that in the first segment of the program, and I really should have set the stage better than that. Tell us what, I know what Open Doors is. Obviously, I've known you for a long time, and I've known and followed Open Doors very closely over the years. Tell us about Open Doors and what Open Doors is doing.
Open Doors is an organization that was founded by a Dutchman. It's a Dutch-based organization. His name is Anna van der Bijl, but everybody knows him as Brother Andrew.
Right.
He's a man who started traveling into Eastern Europe in 1955, just after the very first months after the Iron Curtain was opened for Westerners to go into Eastern Europe. And he discovered a persecuted church, a church that was forgotten, Christians who believed that the whole of the open world, the Western world, had just didn't know they were there. And these were people who were struggling to live their faith. They had no Bibles. They were cut off. They were persecuted by the regime. And Open Doors is an organization that believes that all doors in the world should be open to the gospel, and that even the most closed countries, if you're prepared to go in obedience to Jesus Christ, you can go and help the Christians there.
Let's talk about what we're considering as a significant threat coming up. This is from a legal perspective. I realize there are other organizations and other religious groups that are persecuting Christians. And you hate to say it's coming from religious groups, but there are people that take their religion violently. And that is Islam. We touched on the Buddhism issue, which people are going to probably be stunned to hear that that was a situation. The rising tide of Islam, there's been, of course, reports just this week that the U.S. Embassy in Turkey was attacked today. Actually, as we're recording this broadcast, it was attacked. The perpetrators, Islamic terrorists, and already classified as an act of terror. Turkey, a rising Islamic government. We're seeing increasingly all over the world this kind of impact. How significant is the threat from Islam, especially as Justice Scalia phrased this? He said that America was at war with radical Islam. And you hate saying it as a religious war, but how significant is the threat from Islam to the proclamation of the gospel?
Well, Islam is like a brick wall to the proclamation of the gospel. Most Islamic countries do not give Christians the right to share their faith outside the four walls of their own church. And this has been the case for 13 centuries. The whole statute or the place of the church in the Islamic world is you can exist as long as you don't proclaim your faith, you don't try and share your faith with a non-Christian, in other words, a Muslim. So this has existed for thousands of, well, hundreds of years, thousands of years. What is significant today is that with the increase of Islamic radicalism, there is an increase in of Muslims coming to Christ, Muslims leaving their faith and coming to Christianity.
Now, this is something I want to focus in on, folks, because this is not what you're hearing oftentimes in media. But the fact of the matter is, and I've seen it, and in fact, I'm holding a file in my hand from Muslim converts to Christianity. These are people that came to faith in Jesus. The threat is, and we talked about it earlier on the broadcast, in fact, the request for assistance came to our European Center for Law and Justice office, but actually was sent to Cecilia, your wife, who's been working here for a long time. And this was a couple, a younger couple in their 20s, raised in strict Muslim backgrounds, came to faith in Christ, and are now being threatened with deportation to Syria, which is basically a death sentence if they're known to be Christian converts. Within this issue of Muslims coming to Christ, what are you seeing on the field? Because I think it's encouraging. We're working on it, by the way, legally, of course, to help these people. But what are you seeing on the field with regard to Muslim converts to Christianity?
Well, firstly, that for the first time, perhaps since the coming of Islam to certain countries, we're seeing for the first time Muslims becoming Christians in a sizable number in North Africa, in the Middle East, in countries like Iran. And this is a breakthrough. It's never been seen before. But as you said, it's a spiritual battle, and therefore there's an opposition. And Islam, and especially in the teachings of the Hadith, have a law against apostasy. Anybody who leaves Islam, according to the writings, should be put to death. Now, obviously, that isn't put into practice everywhere. It can happen, but often there are other ways of opposing and stopping somebody coming a Christian. One thing that is done, it's a young girl, and they've discovered that your daughter has become a Christian, left Islam, then what the father will do, he will find a young Muslim man and marry her by force to this man so she becomes a Muslim again. And so she has no freedom, she can't live her faith, she becomes married to a Muslim man.
I want to focus in on this for a little bit longer because this is a significant issue. First, look at the hope side of this, folks, and that is that the large number, and a lot of the networks we're carried on that are heard on television around the world are reporting this as well, that there are a lot of Muslims coming to faith in Jesus Christ. A very good friend of ours, Michael Youssef, who is the pastor of Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, has a worldwide ministry leading the way, and he has an Arabic broadcast. He's Egyptian, and I've had the privilege of speaking in his church a number of times, and they're very, very great people there, and they're praying for what is, I think, a significant move in the continuing proclamation of the gospel to Muslims. But there are a lot of Muslims coming to faith, but you said something very important I want to underscore, and that is the opposition within Islam to that is also stronger probably than it's ever been before, at least certainly more organized than it ever has been before.
Yes, and it's, as I say, in certain countries, in certain parts of the world, it can be extremely violent, and it means death in places like Afghanistan and in the most closed Islamic countries. Somebody who becomes a Christian knows that if it's discovered, he will be put to death. I remember sitting with a young Afghan convert in his house in Afghanistan just a couple of years ago, sitting with him on the floor, drinking tea, and he looked at me in my eyes and he said, "Don't tell anybody that I'm a Christian." Mm. And nobody's ever said that to me before in my life. But he knew that if that was let known in the environment where he lives, he would have his throat cut. And that's reality for Christian converts in that part of the world.
Folks, this is why the reality also is that we have to stand up against this and do it aggressively. And I want to encourage you, as we're talking about this, to be praying for these people. We're going to take on a very aggressive approach at the United Nations. We also need to take a very aggressive approach in our prayer time, and we'll do that, as I said, at the end of this broadcast. But I want to encourage you to go to your phones and join with thousands of others. We've been overwhelmed, by the way, with the response, Michael, and I talked to you about this before. I was wondering how Americans in the West would be able to understand this and relate to this. And I was concerned about it. When we went on the air earlier in the week and talked about this, I didn't know what the response was going to be. If American Christians who have basically a very comfortable life would understand worldwide persecution at people of faith like us, people that are Christian. And they have overwhelmingly responded. We've been pleased, stunned, overwhelmed, and joyful in the response. But it's serious, folks. I mean, this is a very serious tragedy that's going on globally. We're going to get into some of the particulars of some stories that Michael Tone reports that Michael's given us that are very significant and very concerning, and it moved a lot of our staff. But I want to encourage you to go to your phones right now. Again, stand up for the people that can't speak out for themselves, and we've got to do that by standing up to, unfortunately, the Organization of the Islamic Conference, which is the second largest group inside the United Nations, which is unbelievably influential on this defamation of religion issue. You need to go to your phones right now as we continue to talk about this at 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Stand up against this move to criminalize the proclamation of the gospel under international law, which is what the Organization of the Islamic Conference is trying to do right now as we speak. So again, go to your phones, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Michael, you gave us a particular instance of a gospel singer who was placed in an awful situation. Let's talk about that. Tell us what happened.
Well, here we're talking about a different country. It's Eritrea. And
most people don't know where Eritrea is. Describe where it is.
Eritrea is the part of the world we call the Horn of Africa. So it's northeast Africa, Eritrea, Ethiopia. It's just the part south of the Persian Gulf. These are countries, Eritrea and Ethiopia, countries which have been dominated by actually Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, but an Orthodox Christianity that has left the gospel and become very superstitious. And in these both countries, Ethiopia and Eritrea, the government has decided that there are four religions that are allowed. There is the traditional Orthodox, there are the Lutheran Christians, there are Catholics and Muslims. But today there is a tremendous revival. Many young people are coming to Christ, and they're joining what they call Pentecostal churches. They call them the Pentes.
Right.
Now, this church is illegal.
Let's do this. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to follow up. This story is incredible, and this will give you reasons to continue to pray. We're going to be right back. We've got more with Michael. We're going to have more insight as to what's happening here. I'll tell you something, folks. Very serious situation globally for Christians. Again, as we go to the break, you go to your phones. Speak out on this, especially to the United Nations. We need to make a really concerted effort to stand up for freedom and liberty and make sure the gospel can be proclaimed. But it's going to take your voice to help us get to this position at the UN to defeat this defamation of religion resolution, which would criminalize the proclamation of the gospel under international law, which would be absolutely devastating. The number again is 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. If you want information about Open Doors in the United States, it's opendoors.org. That's opendoors.org. We encourage you to go there. More with Michael when we come back.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of Islamic Countries at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org. Regent University's School of Law, uniquely positioned, integrating the study of law with biblical principles. At Regent Law School, the study of law is more than just a profession, it's a calling. Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Regent's motto is training Christian leaders to change the world. And right now, in our nation and really globally, lawyers are at the forefront of global change. And Christian lawyers need to be leading that front.
Jay teaches at Regent Law School, where students receive an exceptional legal education.
The common bond of the students at Regent University University is the commitment to academic excellence and being taught from a Christian perspective. We have a wide diversity of students with a wide representation of Christian denominations, and I think that's what makes a school great.
If you're considering a career in the law, consider Regent Law School today. The time to apply, right now. Call toll-free at 1-877-267-5072. There's also more information online at regent.edu/law. Regent Law School, training Christian lawyers to change the world.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. We're talking about the situation, the persecution of the church in globally, but we're talking about specific countries as well. And one story that really impacted our staff, Michael, and it really impacted our staff, is when you told us about the gospel singer. Again, let's kind of reset the stage on that for some people that may be just joining us in this segment of the broadcast as to exactly what happened. This was a well-known gospel singer, so this was not a situation where this was a random act. Obviously, someone intentionally did this. What happened here?
So Helen, is, as you say, is a gospel singer in her country, Eritrea, amongst this very lively, thriving revival church, basically a Pentecostal church, which is outlawed by the authorities, by the country, by the government. Like many young people, she was arrested, picked up. They put them in underground prisons where they can't see the light of day. They can't move. They can't even have room to stretch out their legs. And then she was put in a shipping container. And when she finally got out, she was she couldn't walk. She lost the use of her legs. And they smuggled her out of the country. She got to a neighboring country for a few months. And now, actually, thanks to another organization, she's been welcomed into Denmark with a little daughter. But basically, her life has been broken.
This, your presentation hit such a nerve with our staff. And a lot of the staff was here are some of our younger staff, late 20s, early 30s, recent law school graduates, government affairs staff. A lot of the names, folks, by the way, you've heard on radio, Drew Ryan, Than Bennett, from our government affairs staff in Washington. But I also flew in Larry Crane, who's one of our most senior lawyers from Washington, D.C. and Nashville. He works out of both offices. Stuart Roth, who works out of our Nashville office. Pat Monahan, who's one of our most senior lawyers. So we had a pretty broad perspective of who was here, and everybody left with the absolutely same perspective, and that is this issue is at the heart of the gospel. This is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. You mentioned the thing about the analysis of we're all part of the same body, and I think the suffering here is very significant. This is not, I don't use the word persecution in the United States because I don't think it's right. There's sometimes acts of discrimination. You talked about active persecution, inactive persecution, active opposition, inactive opposition, discrimination. But let's talk about the difference between these levels of leading to persecution, starting with what we would call acts of discrimination. So there tends to be a movement up, what I'm seeing anyways, especially in the Middle East. When I was there, I was at the border of Syria and the border of Lebanon, and you could sense it spiritually that things were changing, and that maybe what was discrimination before, even in the Middle East, where they wouldn't allow a mass Bible study because it would look too much like a church, but they would allow individual members, that's now stopped. So it moves to a different level. How is this progression? Do you see a progression, and how do you see it developing right now?
Well, it often starts with simply disinformation, people talking against Christians, information that is sent out in local newspapers, or that can even be from the mosque or from religious authorities right around the world. And I'm not just talking about Muslim countries. It can be in a Hindu country or in a Buddhist country as well. And once you tolerate and you accept that people are denigrating Christians, then the next step is to begin to bring in discrimination. And that discrimination can be government-inspired, backed by the government, or it can be simply you can allow people to be discriminated against. You prevent them getting good jobs. You reserve the good jobs in society for Muslims, for people who follow the religious line of the country, so that the church is gradually excluded from society and becomes a marginal group. And then, of course, the next step, once you've gone right through that, is to actively oppress and to persecute people violently. Not all countries go through to violence, but perhaps what we forget that it only takes one person to be beaten up or one person to be killed and the whole church can be afraid. So they don't have to put everybody in prison. They don't have to kill all the pastors. They just have to put one pastor in prison and they make everybody afraid. So it's clever.
In other words, they're utilizing fear tactics,
right,
to build an environment at which those that are proclaiming the gospel or Bible teachers are so intimidated by act aimed at one that it stifles the entire proclamation of the gospel, or at least it attempts to stifle it. The gospel we know is stronger than the attempts. We're running out of time here, but I think it would be important, Michael, if you would lead for a moment a prayer for the persecuted church, and I encourage everybody that's listening to pray with us on this such a significant issue.
Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus Christ himself was persecuted, and he went to the cross for us, and he died for us. And we remember that he said that the servant is not greater than his master, that if I was would be persecuted, then you should be persecuted as well. And that's why there's a persecuted church. And we want to lift this persecuted church up to you now in prayer and ask you, Father, to be with those that are in prison at the moment, men and women in shipping containers, in prisons, who feel lost, feel forgotten, and just let them know in their hearts that there is a praying church in America for them. We pray for men and women who have been thrown out of their homes, who have lost their possessions, who have lost their jobs, because they want to follow you. And we pray, Father, that you will provide for their needs and give them what they need to live and to bring up their families. We pray for pastors who are afraid, for people who are afraid to go to church. We ask you to give them courage to continue in their faith. We pray, Father, for ourselves, that you would give us wisdom to know how to help them. And we ask for the prayer, especially on the level of advocacy, to know how to influence the authorities of this world so that your church can live in the peace and in reality that you want that church to live in the glory of Christ. We pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen. And if you want information, and I encourage you to support the organization Open Doors, go to opendoors.org. That's their U.S. website. Michael's website's in French, so it'll be easier for you to go to the U.S. website. But I encourage you also to pray for Michael and his team that are working here in Europe and literally around the world protecting and working with and enabling and equipping the persecuted church. It's a reality that we have to deal with and a reality we need to continue to be praying for. As we close the broadcast out, let me also encourage you, as we've been doing all week, for you to go to the phones. This is a significant time for our work here in Europe. If you would have told me 10 years ago, this is our 10-year anniversary here at the European Center for Law and Justice, that the issues involving the persecuted church, that the issues involving a rising tide of Islam would be at the forefront of what we're dealing with, I don't think anybody would have expected that's the case. But that is where we find ourselves. And I always, there's a Jewish admonition that I find always appropriate, and that is the rabbis used to teach, and this was, by the way, in Jesus' time, and he did the same thing, pray with your eyes open. And sometimes you pray with your eyes open because you need to see where God's moving in a particular direction and make sure that you are alert to what God is doing. And on this persecuted church issue, we have got to be alert as to what God is doing and pray for the church. We want to encourage you as we close the broadcast out, though, to go to your phones. And again, we're making the stand against the UN. It's a very bold move. And I know a lot of you are saying, well, why mess with the UN? And the fact of the matter is, for good or for ill, you have to. This is an international body that has a lot of influence, and they can churn and change world opinion. And we can't stand idly by just because we may have disagreements with some of the positions or most of the positions that they're advocating. What we need to do is make sure our voice is heard and that we're speaking out for those who cannot speak out against themselves. Now, we're speaking against a big group, and I realize that, and that is the Organization of the Islamic Conference, the largest group inside the United Nations. You go to your phones right now, though, and take a stand for the church and take a stand for the proclamation of the gospel. We have to defeat this attempt to create a defamation of religion issue, which will basically internationalize a criminal law to stop the proclamation of the gospel. We can't allow that to happen. We need your help on that. Here's the phone number, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also, of course, sign up or get additional information at aclj.org. But as we close the broadcast out, I urge you to call right now and add your name to a growing list of thousands that are standing up against this move, not just by Islam, actually, but by many groups that are opposing the proclamation of the gospel. That's 1-877-989-2255. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you next time.